time. So I want to start with two introductions. The introductions themselves, I think, are worthy introductions inherently. Like the application to the introductions are not just where I'm going to apply. But then I want to make one application of the two introductions. Okay. The two introductions is as follows. The first introduction is, there's a Sefer Cheshbon HaNefesh that's a very, very important insight. He says that the human being has basically two parts. He has the intellect and his taivas, his emotions, right? We know, see, that's the fight. And on a simple level, there's the Sahara and the Eitz HaTov, in a certain sense, for sure on one level, there's a fight between the intellect versus the emotions. The problem, and really, the intellect is stronger than the emotions. It's like if I decide I don't want to do something, even if I have emotions. Problem is that very often your emotions destroy your intellect, right? Because when you get very emotional, then you can't think straight. If you could really think straight, you know, that even if you had a lot of emotions, but you wouldn't do it. Because if I know I'm going to commit suicide by doing this, I'm not going to do it. Much as I have a taiva. But what happens is your taiva causes, taivas, the way taivas very often win is they call Bilbo Adas. Right? That's a lot of the Baal Musar. It's very much into, for sure, Kel Musar, is that the biggest problem is Bilbo Adas. The Bilbo Adas, taiva causes Bilbo Adas. A person, that's a chazal, a person has a saita, is from the word shaita, because you have no seichel. So the Cheshbon HaNefesh says, therefore, a very big insight. He says, if the way taiva gets us is it causes Bilbo Adas, then the Eitza is to Eitza Chacham Arayas HaNailan, and to make your decisions before the taiva comes in. So you don't have Bilbo Adas. In other words, he says like this. Let's say it's Ben Azmanim. I'm going to go home for vacation. So there'll be all kinds in this Yainis might come up during the Ben Azmanim. So now when the Nisayan comes up, I'm going to have Bilbo Adas. I might not make the right decision. But if while I'm still in yeshiva, and I don't have the Nisayan yet, so I don't have the taiva, and I decide, and I think, well, listen, I know I'm going to go home, and I know I'm going to bump into my old friends. I know this, and this is going to happen, and I know I'm going to have a Nisayan. So I don't have any taiva yet because it didn't happen yet. So then I can make an intellectual decision without the Bilbo Adas. And once you make a decision, it's much more likely that you'll stick to it, not guaranteed, but likely, even once the Bilbo Adas comes in, because you need to know what's right. So that's his Eitza. It's a very, very important Eitza, that you should always try and think of future Nisyonos before they come, and then decide what the right thing to do. And then right? In other words, a simple example, you're invited to a wedding. And you're not sure that the food is kosher. So when do you check out if the food's kosher? Do you check out before you get to the wedding? Or you wait till you get to the wedding, and then you're going to go into the kitchen and check out, right? So you're saying you wait till you get to the wedding, and you're being hungry, and you see all the delicious food, and then you're going to check out if it's kosher. So you have Bilbo Adas, and you're like, oh, it's probably kosher. Yeah, I see the guy there with a yarmulke. He's wearing he's eating it. It must be kosher, right? But if you check it out before, you don't have any gear, so you'll do a good job, okay? That's the Cheshbon HaNefesh. That's a very important insight. Okay. The Rosh Hashiva...
Where does the Cheshbon HaNefesh
say it? Where does he say it? In the Sefer Cheshbon HaNefesh.
Which part?
I don't remember. That's the truth. I don't remember. Anyway, the Rosh Hashiva took this insight much, much further. He made a very, very big insight out of this. Much more further. He says that even in this case, it's not so good because, okay, I know I'm going to the wedding in a week from now. I know, I know that in Ben Azman, I'm going to have this Nisayan. But Rosh Hashiva said that there's an Eitza to make your decision 10 years in advance, 20 years in advance. So what does that do? What you're really doing is not make a decision. You're trying to knock things into your brain that it's just no, there's no brain. It's like obvious. In other words, we're brought up that you wear clothes. So even if it's a hard Nisayan, you're not going to walk out without clothes, because it's so knocked into your head that you have to wear clothes, that if there's a fire or whatever, I'm still going to go, you know, and I'm not going to get killed, but, you know, I'm going to work hard to have clothes before I run into the street. A girl who grows up and her mother doesn't cover her hair, so it's not knocked into her head that you have to hard cover your hair. So even if she goes to seminary and their teachers teach her, you know, when you get married, you have to cover your hair, but it's not knocked into her head. Like, you know, you have to wear clothes. So then if it's a harni sayin, oh, yeah, I look ugly, I can't, I have the shaytun, that's for a girl, looking ugly is terrible. And my whole beauty is ugly, I can't, and people are laughing at me, and so it's much harder. So the eitzah that she said is, you got to teach the girl not in seminary to wear a shaytun. You teach it in first grade. First grade, first grade, second grade, third grade. And you keep on, you repeat it. So it's a given. It's just like you have to wear clothes. You got to wear a shaito when you get married. So then there's no nisayin. Of course I wear a shaito. It's no nisayin. It's like a shaito. It's like clothes. I have a nisayin not to wear clothes. Of course. Right? For example, that is really why the Shiva spoke so much about our Patsa Saira. There were many people that tied it. I think they say that was one of Rav Aaron's signers, that while you're in yeshiva, you shouldn't talk about our Bat Zaira, because it takes away from your learning the Shema. You know, you're learning, you shouldn't have ulterior motives for your learning. You should only be, I'm learning because it's a mitzvah to learn. Then when you're ready to leave, you have to go out because you have to decide what to do. Then you should discuss and you say, okay, should I go on to become a lawyer? Should I go on to our Bat Zaira? That's when you should start thinking about it. But Rav Shiva, hell no, because it's a hard nisayin when you're ready to leave. So if you knock it into the guy's head 10 years in advance, when there's no nisayin, because there's no question. It's not negeinah ma'isa. It's not negeinah ma'isa. So it's easy to talk about our brother's sermon. It's not negeinah ma'isa. And then it becomes like a given. So then, it's right, I guess that's Rav Shiva, he said. He says it in a few places, and in Shmuzim, he says that even that Yaakov did this trick that the client's children are about 200 years in advance, whatever. Okay, that to knock certain things into their acceptance when they know it would be a hard nisayin, so that it'll be accepted. Okay, so I want to play the same trick. Okay, so I want to talk about something which is not nogeya at all in the ma'isa. It's only nogeya 10, 20 years, whatever it is, I don't know, 10 years, maybe. But I want to knock it into your conscience. Why do I want to do that? Another introduction, but this is a much easier introduction. I heard this from Rav Huttner. He made a very, very big point about this, that there's a big problem we have, that we're brought up in America, and America has certain givens. Culture accepted things, right? And whether we like it or not, we're automatically grow up with these assumptions, right? For example, our sense of beauty. Right? In the Gemara's time, I just said this example today. In the Gemara's time, people that were fat were considered beautiful. A fat woman was considered beautiful. In America, a fat woman is considered ugly. So now, beauty should be natural, a reflex. But it's not true. When you see a fat woman, you say, ooh, she's ugly. And why do you say that? It's a reflex, but it's because you were conditioned that way because you grew up in America. If you grew up 1,000 years ago in the time of Chazal, you would see that beautiful fat woman. You say, "Ooh, she's gorgeous!" Right? So things were conditioned just because of society. So Rav Huttner said, and he made this point very stark when we went to see him, that we grow up in American society, and we're conditioned by many things of the society. One of the things he made fun of the guy. If we went there, we were all clean shaven. We went to Rav Huttner, and he was making fun of us. Our Uncle Sam's face, as we called us. He says, you guys, the Torah holds that a beard is beautiful. Why do you think you're so handsome? Because you don't have a beard. That's because you grew up in this crazy American society that they, you know, and then you just take it for granted that this is beauty. It's not beauty.
That was Europe also. No?
What?
That was Europe also.
It was. That what? Okay, because Slavka was. Okay, I don't want to get off on that tangent. They say in the Svarim, just for the record, I have to say my tidbit of history, which I can't process is true, but it actually says this in the Svarim, that in Eastern Europe, they always grow a beard, even until recent times. Western Europe, they got rid of the beard. They say that one of the kings of England, I think, I remember, they all had beards, and he had a problem. He couldn't grow a beard. So because he was embarrassed, so he made a decree that no one in his country could have a beard. And it became, and that's where the style changed, because the poor king couldn't have a beard, so he made it the style. Okay, anyway, but the Maisa, I saw that somewhere, I don't remember. But anyway, the Maisa, so Rav Hunde said that we're very much caught up in it, so you have to be very careful. There's like certain hashkafas in America that we just take for granted, you know, democracy, right? We're brought up in America. Democracy is the greatest thing in the world, and our founding fathers were such brilliant people. Now, is that necessarily true? I don't know. Not necessarily true. It's great now, you know, it could be there's a better system. 5-day week, right? When you go to school, you know, they fought for the 5-day week. It's such a wonderful thing that we have a 5-day week. They used to have the sweatshops. Now we have a 5-day week, right? Sounds good, except that the Chazal say, Koish Shavas Chayiv Misa, right? Which means that at least if he's working, at least he's accomplishing something in his life. If he's going around and doing nothing 2 days a week, just watching television, you know, that's just killing life. Maybe that's not necessarily good. If you're doing mitzvah, it's one thing, but just killing time. So I don't know. And there could be there. That's what our friend was saying. There's certain hashkafa. So I want to talk one hashkafa, which is rampant in the Jewish world. Many people in the Jewish world know this hashkafa. Know have the right hashkafa, because they're brought up in families that have it right, so they're used to it. And so those guys, it's not nogeah. So this mitzvah for them is not nogeah, but ends. The first part was a good part. But for many guys, they don't know this, and because they're still growing up in America. So I think it's very important to talk about. That is the question of having a large family. America grows up, in America, the average family is how much? One and a half kids and a dog, yes. And in the Frum world, we all that you should have large families. And you mamish in America, they look at you like you're nuts, right? I'm telling you, I remember when my wife was pregnant, I think with my fifth child, and she went somewhere, and we went in a park somewhere. She had four children, and she was pregnant. And maybe it was only my fourth child. I don't remember. And some lady, a stranger, comes over to her and starts screaming at her, "What's wrong with you, you behemoth? You know, having so many children, what's wrong with you? You know, excuse me, baby, mind your own business." But she was the shame shamayim. This is, there's a hashkafa in the secular world that, because obviously Pshat is like this. They want to have one and a half children. Why? The real reason is because they're Bawi Taiva. Bawi Taiva means they don't want to be responsible. They don't want to take care of their kids. They want to have fun. You can't have fun if you have kids. You can't go out at night. You have to take care of your kids. You can't go ahead. It's also expensive. You got to spend money taking care of your kids. Diapers cost money. It's much more fun, at least in the short run, if you don't have kids. But they're not going to say that. So they come up with all kinds of wonderful philosophies why you shouldn't have a lot of kids. And then they go ahead and it became so much part of society that they look at us like we're crazy. So people that grow up in families that have large families, so I don't think they have a problem. But many of the guys in yeshiva, because I know from talking to people, they grow up in small families, they're indoctrinated with this kruma hashkafa, that it's better not to have kids, or three kids. So I want to get rid of that hashkafa. Why should you have a lot of kids? So the first reason is why it's a tremendous mitzvah, right? It's probably, according to many people, it could be one of the greatest mitzvahs you can do in your whole life. Imagine if you say, there was a guy, you were walking down the canal and this guy was drowning and you saved his life, you know? You'd be so happy. I saved a life, right? There's an Arab terrorist and he's about to kill someone and you neutralized him. You'd be thrilled. You know, the pride of your life. But this is more than that. You made the whole person. Yesh me'ayin, so to speak. and you raise him and you mechanech him and everything. This, in many ways, having a child can be the greatest mitzvah in life, especially because that child, Hashem, will have more children, and then it's a Gilgal, you know? So you're bringing so many people into the world. You could be, and what, you know, there's a mice, I just saw someone in recent, some lady came to Rav Shach, and she was saying that she has so many children, and she doesn't want to have more children. And Rav Shach says, you know, I'm the seventh child of my mother. I don't think my mother was, you know, she's still okay. You know, she had a lot of children, you know, seven children, you know, it wasn't. I don't think my mother had charata that she gave birth to me. But it's a tremendous, tremendous mitzvah. It's really one of the greatest mitzvahs. The second thing is we believe it's also one of the greatest happiness. Even though in the beginning it's hard work, and raising children really is hard work, and it costs money, and yeshiva tuition is expensive, but at the end of the day, your greatest simcha in life is from your kids. That's, and you know, I remember once, when my wife was once pregnant, I went to Rav Plashinsky, I went to get a bracha. I told my wife is pregnant. I remember Rabbi Zin Plashinsky said, she was that was Rav Aravin's daughter, you know, she said, more kids is more simcha. And that's, I think we believe that. That there's much more simcha in when you have kids. Now, why do secular people say you shouldn't have kids? We got to slug up all their reasons. Why do they say why you shouldn't have kids? That's just some good reasons. What?
Expensive.
Okay, it's expensive. So expensive, so we just said, so you got to be ready to pay. So it's expensive. So you got to pay for the mitzvah, and you got to pay for the simcha. Okay.
They won't be happy.
Oh. This is the most thing. The poor kid, the poor child is going to be grow up deprived because he won't have his mother. He's going to, you know, the mother's going to be too busy to take care of him, and the father because they have too many children, and the poor child will be deprived of motherly love. So I have two answers to that one. First of all, ask anybody that grows up in a large family if they feel they were deprived. Okay, now that's a dangerous question. Because, you know, some people will say they're deprived no matter what. But the truth is, in most big families, they are not deprived. They are just the opposite. Because they have more love. Because parents have limited time that they can, no matter how much, even every one kid, parents, you know, it's hard. The children, you know, they want to go out. They want to go to work. They want to, so they, you know, they get a babysitter. But when you're in a large family, you have five mothers. Every older sister is your mother. Every, you know, there's much more action. Kids have grown up in a one-family house. It's boring. It's, you know, lonely. All you do is you go home and you watch television. You know, it's excitement when you have. There's much more, you know. There's much more warmth in a family with a lot of kids, because everyone, it's the family. Everyone cares about each other. But the second answer, which is my favorite answer, you know, the first answer is the right answer. There's a story about Rav Ari Levin. It's a great story. There was a Chaver Knesset. Rav Ari Levin used to be involved with certain, you know, poor people, whatever. So he was a certain involved with a certain person's mother. And afterwards, he got involved with her son. And her son, you know, the mother was one of these, came over from the Sephardim, and they were very poor. Whatever, she had a lot of issues. But meanwhile, so he got involved with the family. But the son grew up, and he became very successful, and eventually became a Chaver Knesset, which means they became a member of the Israeli parliament. And they were having a major bill for abortion, you know, to allow abortion in Israel. I assume that, you know, probably Israel's a very liberal country, so I don't know what the status is now. I'm assuming that, you know, the liberal country, they're very liberal. But at that point, they're going to pass a bill to allow abortion. And the Gedolim were very much wanted to, that it shouldn't pass. And it happened to be that this guy would be the deciding vote, because there were enough people, you know, for it. And if they could convince this person not to vote against it, it wouldn't pass. So Rav Ari Levin went over to speak to the guy and told him that, you know, you got to vote against this bill. And it says that this person told Rav Ari Levin, you know, I hear what the rabbi says, but I really believe from the bottom of my heart that it's not right to give birth to some of these children. They're born out of wedlock. the parents are in poverty, they can't afford the child has to suffer, and it's really not right to have the child suffer so much. And I just think that abortion is morally right. And, you know, and I'm going to, I have to vote with my conscience. And Rav Arnavin said, you know, you're just like your mother. That's what your mother told me when she asked me to give her a heter to get an abortion from you. So I think, in retrospect, I think he's happy his mother didn't have an abortion, right? So, you know, you ask a person whose parents have five kids, you know, are you, would you have preferred that you didn't get born? you know, because you're deprived. Okay, I'd rather be born than be deprived. But
what about the Balthazar? I don't want to be hindered by 10 kids.
So that's the answer for that is Einachinami. You want to, what do you in life? You want to be accomplished in life or you want to have fun? If you want to accomplish in life, you want to do mitzvahs, you want to do great things, you want to accomplish, and then, you know, that something will continue, lachar meiv ha'esrim, and after you die, and it goes on and on for eternity, then you have to work hard. If you want to fun and play games, you want to be a playboy, yeah, but then after you get older, and you start, you know, you can't be a playboy anymore, and then you're just left with nothing. Because, you get 50, 60, 70, and you have nothing in life. You have nothing in Olam Haba, nothing in Olam Haza, and you just have a few, what?
Or if you want to be a successful businessman. I'm not going to spend my whole life playing games.
What did you accomplish? The accomplishments, you make more money, but so you make a little less money. Okay. Not Shkanishka Freda. But you accomplish much more, whether it's in mitzvahs. You say that's the biggest mitzvah. And it's also, and I don't say it's the biggest mitzvah. It's one of the biggest mitzvahs. And you also accomplish, you know. So, plus, when I say this, also, we believe you really, at the end of your life, you'll really be happy with this. You go to your child's wedding, it'll be the greatest simplest. It's worth it to get to go to your child's wedding. Okay, the first few years, it's hard. You got to put up for 5-10 years of hard work to get to your child's wedding.
Okay. What about the svara of kids being restrained on society, like we hear?
Oh, that's a real great one.
Horrible.
So the world is overpopulated, and there's not enough food for the world. So therefore, we should have less children, right? I think I haven't agreed the world's overpopulated, but not with my children. Right. You know, you want to get rid of a few people in Africa, China. Okay, you know. Okay, but I don't think. No, I'm not. I didn't mean that seriously. But I don't think that my child, overpopulating the world. You know, like my child, Ezra Hashem, is going to be a bring bracha to the world. They're going to, they're going to bring. We believe they do mitzvahs. They bring ruchnias. Ki bi'or panecha nasata lanu. Right, you know, the whole thing. That means when you do a mitzvah, you're bringing bracha to the world. We believe that Klal Yisrael brings bracha to the whole world. So you're helping the world. Every time you bring a neshama to the world, you're making the world a better place. You're not making the world. Who's going to determine whether there's enough food? It's like Hashem Baruch Hu, and it's based on how much the kedusha in the world. So you bring more kedusha in the world, there'll be a better world, not a worse world. You really think that one child is going to make, that there's going to be a shortage of now, a famine in the world?
That's what they would say to a guy that's saying that svara.
I mean, isn't it a pretty stupid svara? I mean, this guy goes out, and he wastes so much food, and he goes through his garbage, you know, he goes, and then he says, oh, I'm worried about the world overpopulating. So maybe eat a little less. Don't eat your steak. You know how many much goes into a steak, and how much feed. They say that this guy, who's this guy that's worried about the
Bill Gates?
Not Bill Gates. This guy. We ran for president once. He was very big into the pop. Gore.
Al Gore. Yeah.
Al Gore. He's very big into the pop, and polluting the world. What does he do? He flies around the world in his private jet. And they said that his private jet, he pollutes the world more than anyone else, You know, it's hypocritical. You know, the guy's eating like a pig. He's going to the, throwing out so much stuff.
What are the svaras on the other side?
You're making it
through. He's not saying.
I'm saying all the svaras. The svaras are that your kid.
What are the valid svaras?
The valid svaras. These are the svaras that they'll tell you.
What are the svaras that Rebbe will tell us?
No, sorry. The svaras they'll tell you is it's hard work. It's hard work. Raising children is hard work. Sar gidu banim. It's really can be, especially if you have one baby and then another baby, and it's a hard work. And second of all, it's expensive. It is expensive. Yeshiva tuition is expensive. We ask a lot of money. Now, of course, if you're a rabbi, you get a discount. Okay, do our bus is higher. But and the mice, but it's worth it. Now, what's enough? Sometimes a person doesn't have control on how many kids they have. You know, you can want to have a lot of kids, and some people just can't have a lot of kids. It's just a neshamayim. And sometimes, you know, you can't have control. Sometimes you can't help. You can have more. You know, you can't stop. But sometimes you can't stop from having children. It's just, you know, some. But there are, sometimes it is beyond.
So we should have like 15 kids?
Yeah. If you could, theoretically, it would be good, but most people can't.
When you have that many kids, you can't like have a relationship with all of them.
Did you try it ever?
There's no way.
The limit is what your wife can handle.
Physically,
mentally. In other words, many women cannot handle physically. They'll get sick. They can't have so much, or emotionally they can't handle it. Obviously, you can't force your wife to do something she doesn't want to do. But you have to be magical on the right way. So the hashkafa is that the more the merrier. If you can't, you can't. Okay. There is right money. I don't know. In today's rich America, I don't think it's right money. You know, there's food stamps, and you know, you don't see anyone starving in America.
Anyone should go to like America considers poverty.
I don't see people with large families being in starving. I don't see that.
That's starving, but we should live there. We should always be stressed out that how am I going to pay this tax?
Okay, if you're going to be, I'm not saying that under every city you have to be. There sometimes it could be an overriding factor, but usually it's not the man that's stressed out. Usually it's a woman. And Einochinami, there are times. You ask a shaita, you have to get a heter, and there could be, but there should be an attitude, I wish I could. Sometimes I can't, but it's a different attitude. You have to have an attitude. The best thing would be 15 children. It might not be practical, you know? The best thing would be to be a multimillionaire. It's not so practical. You can't do it, okay? You can't. The best thing would be a lot, but people don't have that in their head. People think, the best thing is to have my perfect, beautiful family is, you know, it's the expression cheaper by the dozen, right?
Don't you have 25 kids in a family if biologically, emotionally, the parents can handle it?
Of course, if they can't handle it, you can't do it.
The chinuch is not going to be as good.
If the parents can't handle it, I'm agreeing. I'm not saying, I was talking in the, and. If obviously there are times where mamish, the person, you know, they can't handle, they can't do it.
Those are the parents.
You can't.
Alpha kids have no issue with having 25 of them. Each other.
I don't know. I doubt it. You know, Rabbi Chait, Rabbi Moshe Chait said when he had his Baruch Chait, he was in Kodo. He says he couldn't do it. They didn't have like parents supporting them, so they're very poor. He was in Kodo. They had Baruch Chait. He ended up couldn't afford a crib, so he took out the drawer of his dresser, emptied the bottom drawer, emptied out of clothes, and that was a crib. Okay. You think he's a Baruch Chait is any less deprived because his crib was a drawer from a dresser instead of a regular crib, instead of the babies that get pulled in these, the new fancy strollers that they're called, that have this name brand strollers, I forgot what it is. What?
Bugaboo.
There's a name brand. And all the people, you go to the Kodo, you go, everyone's pushing this. It's like a $500 stroller. Whatever it is, it's a standard stroller. Now, let's say the baby, you can't afford the $500 stroller. So either you buy a used one, or you buy a cheaper brand. You really think the baby's going to be deprived? The mother will be embarrassed. That's the only one. And that, the baby does not know the difference if she's in a, what's it called?
Bugaboo
stroller, or she's in a $15 fold-up stroller that you can get in Kmart. You know, and the baby will not know the difference. Walmart. Right.
If all the guy held of this, then wouldn't their TACA be overpopulation?
Maybe. Okay, first of all, I'm not worried about overpopulation. America, we're a rich, rich country. You know how much food goes into garbage? And go to any wedding, and you see how much food goes into the garbage. We're not overpopulated.
That's because they have 1.5 kids. They
no,
all had
that's
like
not
five.
Why. Because we're Baruch Hashem, we're in a rich country. There's no shortage of food. There's no shortage of anything. Maybe if you're living in China, okay, the population. I don't know.
Rebbe, wouldn't necessarily want this for the gun. Do we want to have?
No goy is asking my opinion. I'm talking about for us. And again, I want to be clear because I wasn't clear. I'm not saying halacha to maisa gzeres hakasev. Obviously, you have to judge a situation, and there are times that you can't. The most common case is when your wife says, "I'm going to go cry. I'm going to have a nervous breakdown." Okay, yeah, or she'll say, "Call," and it could happen. Women get overwhelmed, so she can't. And then you can go ask a shaida, and there are sometimes haterim. But if you can't, you can't. But if you can, but sometimes you can, and sometimes you have to present it. You have to be able, it's what you want. When there's a clow in life, which I'm sure everyone knows, the famous clow, when there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're not interested in it, so of course you'll find an easy excuse. I can't handle it. It's too hard. It's always too hard. But if you really want it, then you'll discover it's not too hard. So you have to be indoctrinated that it's a beautiful thing to have a large family. Now, in Achinami, most large families are not 15, right? Most large families are much smaller. I only had 8 children. Well, okay, I wish I would like to have had a bigger family, but 8's okay. It's a nice number, But it's a, that. So I'm not, I'm not saying that, realistically, sometimes first of all, it doesn't even work out that more, even if you wanted to. You can't, a woman get nurse, a woman nurses, you can't become pregnant when you're nursing. But there are some people that will nurse longer than they have to, so they don't have to become pregnant. Now, that might be halachically mutter, because it's not, there's no problem about Shrosa Zer or anything, but each question is, do you want to do that? So it's a decision that the parents make. Do we want to have more children or don't we want to have more children? There are ways of making, you have to be, not no gay at you people at the moment. There are ways, but so at least the attitude is that it would be wonderful if we could. Maybe we can. Maybe my wife, I married a girl and she's not up to that. She can't handle the pressure. She can't handle the pressure. What can I do? That's what Hashem gave me.
Should a person look for that during dating?
No, you're not. You can't talk about it in the dating. I don't know. Is that
no, like, what's her? No, should a person know what's her?
Okay. Could be, maybe. But I don't know. I'm not talking dating advice. And I'm not talking, I want to play a trick. Because since I said there are some people that this is pashut. They grew up in a large family. Right, we have any Goldenbergs here? They take over the whole North Miami Beach, right? Come on, I don't have to tell you about the beauty of having a big family, of course. But the people that don't have large families, and there are people that they grew up in a family of 2 or 3 kids, so it's bizarre to them, and I'm trying to brainwash them by putting this a new thought in their head. That even though I grew up with 2 or 3 kids, and all my neighbors are doing three kids. But this is really, the Torah way is different. That's a Geisha way. That's America. But the Torah way is you have larger families, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I don't know. You know, that's
the Torah.
Yes.
Why didn't Rebbe bring it with me?
Oh, because the Medrash Rabbah in this week's parasha, thank you, says that Avram Holidus Yitzchak, the Medrash says that the first Medrash in Toldos, it says that Avram was saved from the Kivshin Ha'esh b'schus of Yaakov, there's a lot of Mepharshim, but the Pashin Medrash is that Avram would always schus him. In order to be saved from the Kivshin Ha'esh, it had to have in the schus of Yaakov, which is a little bit of Musar Haskel, what I'm saying, that your children, here you think Avram Avinu had enough schusim in his own. But yet, that wasn't, always schusim wouldn't save him, but the schus is going to have a Yaakov, that saved him. So I just wanted to bring the idea that children can be the biggest schus. The Pewa Yoetz and Pruvu says, I forgot to bring in the Sefer. He says it's very point blank that the people that think that they don't want to have more children, even if you're Mekayim Pruvu, you should have more children. He speaks about it at length. He says, imagine if you want your child, even if he's not him, your grandchildren, your great grandchildren, your great, 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 great grandchild could be the God of Ador. You know what kind of schus that is? You know, it's okay. Anyway, Shikayach. So I hope I brainwash everyone. I'm finished. Yeah, what? Yeah, too wide. I don't know why Rabbeinu Gershom made this claim. I always thought it was because if you have two wives, then they're going to be infighting and they'll gang up on you. And, you know, it's like it's not a, doesn't end to shun on bias. I don't recommend two wives. I think it's...